You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today doing something a little bit different with this show. I want to talk about a new feature over at Basketball Monster, something that we've introduced called Value 30. It's not a huge change, but it's something which I think you guys can find useful. So we'll talk about that, as well as answering some questions on the fantasy check-in about the Toronto Raptors, the Utah Jazz, and the Washington Wizards. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Hi guys, let's talk about, I want to talk about something that we did introduce here on Basketball Monster over the last 24 hours, a new feature, a new way for you to utilize some of the data that we've got over there. And I think it is useful, especially with things coming up like injuries, injuries that cost players the rest of the season with only half the year left, trades, buyouts, all that sort of stuff. It's really useful to be able to get a gauge on players who might be able to be useful fantasy contributors at some point this season. Now, I think most of you would all be aware of Basketball Monster, the site that I work for, create the projections for, season-long, daily fantasy, all that sort of stuff. You're all well aware of that. What I've got up on the screen here for those of you watching on YouTube is the player rankings, and it is important to differentiate on Basketball Monster the difference between player rankings and player projections. If you go to that tools menu up the top here, you'll see two things there. The first one's the monster page, which you should be going to every day. Gives you an idea of performances of players in your leagues, across all of your leagues, guys who could be add, drops, the streams, those sort of guys, news information on your players. Then you got two options next, projections and rankings. Projections is what we think is going to happen from this day forward. Rankings is what's already happened. A lot of people get confused and they think rankings because they're looking at traditional, like your fantasy football. Who's your ranks for this week? And we use rankings in terms of what has actually happened, how these players ranked. Projections is how we look at these guys in all of their statistical categories moving forward. So what I've got here up on the screen is the player rankings. But as you can see over here, I've converted it instead of per game value, I've converted it to per 36 value, because a lot of people use per 36. It's a common number that's used on sites like Basketball Reference to extrapolate a player's per minute production out if they were to get 36 minutes per game. Now, players getting 36 minutes per game is not all that common. There are certainly players who do it. Anthony Davis, James Harden, LeBron James. We know these guys get 36 minutes per night. But guys who you're picking up off the waiver wire, who get inserted into starting lineups, they're unlikely to be playing 36 minutes a game. There's very few players that actually do that. So what this is a list of all of the players in the NBA converting all of their fantasy stats so far this season to per 36 value. And we have that on every player's page on Basketball Monster. What would their rank be in per 36 value? And I think that can be, and I've thought this for a while, can be a little bit misleading, because what it's doing is it's converting every player in the NBA to per 36 value. And realistically, that's not going to be a useful option, I don't think anyway. Now, yeah, ignoring the fact that we're talking about guys here at number one like Rolly Hawkins, who's played two games in a total of almost 5 minutes for the season at number one, that's not the point I'm trying to get at. I'm saying that everybody converting themselves to per 36 value, it does skew a lot of guys. Like say someone like TJ Warren, who's the 55th ranked player over the course of the season, in per 36 value, he moves down to number 133 because so many other guys jump ahead of him. But of course, we're not going to have 480 players in the NBA playing 36 minutes at a time. So that's not a realistic example. Josh Richardson, 155th in per 36 minute value, because he's getting a lot of minutes. He hasn't been quite as productive as what we would have hoped. But that's, again, it's not a realistic expectation. So what we went ahead and did is create something called Value 30. Now, at the moment, it's just in its infancy, but we're going to be introducing it into things like projections and to rankings and putting it on all the different pages on Basketball Monster. But what it is it converts each player's projected numbers into what we think they do over 30 minutes, which I feel is a more realistic expectation for a player who gets thrust into a larger role, whether that be through injury, trade, buyout, whatever it is. So someone who comes in say, for example, let's use the Sacramento Kings, for example, and say they trade Willie Cauley-Stein, and then Harry Giles becomes the starter. Well, he's not going to come in and play 36 minutes per night, and comparing his per 36 stats versus everybody else in the NBA's per 36 stats, it doesn't give you a good indication of what sort of value he can have. What value 30 does is it converts his stats into what would happen if he played 30 minutes, but it then compares that number and that overall rank value versus what everyone else is doing based on their current projections. So if all of a sudden everything in the NBA stayed the same, which it doesn't of course stay the same, but there are minor adjustments, but if everyone else's projections stayed the same and Giles was put into the starting lineup and played 30 minutes, where would he fit in the current landscape of the NBA? And that's what value 30 does. And I think that gives you a better indication rather than per 36. So looking here, you can look at these top 12 guys in per 36 numbers and what they've done. And you can see a bunch of G League guys there. Rolly Alkins, Joe Chi, who's not even in the NBA anymore, Chris Boucher of the Raptors. You got Harden at 4, Troy Copain at 5, Corey Brewer at 6, Tone Davis, Steph Curry, my brother Jordan Lloyd, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Durant. So out of these guys, the weird names I guess showing up there, I think Lloyd's an interesting one in Toronto, number 9 in per 36 ranking. But say Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and D'Lon Wright all got hurt at the same time. It's a long shot, but say that happens, and the Raptors have to lean on Lloyd to play 30 minutes. Is he going to be a top 10 guy? Probably not. So if we go across to his player page, you can see at the top of the page, there's a whole bunch of rank numbers there. That first column, season per game value, he's the 338th ranked player. Now projections, my projections, Kyle's projections, 368th, Kyle's got him as 464th. But that next one is the new one, value 30. So according to what we're projecting, if Lloyd was to get 30 minutes per night, and everyone else in the NBA were doing what they would do, not converting everyone else to a per-minute basis, he'd be the 127th ranked player. So not necessarily the greatest option out there, but maybe a back-end 12-team league guy. And that's what value 30 is here to show you. So I've gone through a bunch of these guys in the per 36 ranks to highlight a few players who I think are worth mentioning and worth looking at, who maybe look high in the per 36 rankings, or guys that we want to pay attention to, and what they could look like if they find themselves in a larger role. The first one I want to look at here is Aaron Holiday, who's put up some strong numbers in a per 36 basis. If he was a value 30 player, he'd be a top 100 guy. Now, of course, there's a couple of injuries that would have to happen there in Indiana, but the way that he has played, he could be a value option in that area. So I think that's something worth noting. These Darren Collison and Corey Joseph, they're expiring contracts. They're not providing huge value for the Pacers, but maybe they get moved. Maybe this is something we're looking at for next season, with Holiday already providing perhaps top 100 value on a per 30 basis. Could he move into a top 70 guy next season? I think that's important to know. Everyone's favorite, including mine, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. We know it's hard for him to stay out of foul trouble. If he was to be a 30-minute-a-game guy, yeah, he probably is the 40th-ranked guy. Harry Giles, a name I mentioned earlier. At the moment, he's the 288th-ranked player. 30 minutes a night, he can become the 89th-best player, an option there which, of course, would make him a must-roster guy. De'Anthony Melton, a guy that I talk about quite a bit. In terms of his overall value, he could become the 89th ranked guy in his per 30 value if he was to find himself in that larger role as the season continues. A couple of other names who are interesting per 36 guys and show flashes in their advanced numbers as well, Isaac Bonga of the Lakers, 89th in value 30. He's not going to get that sort of minutes, but that's something to pay attention to. A guy that flashed those advanced stats in Europe is flashing it in the G League and has flashed it in his limited time in the NBA so far. Ivan Rabb, 78th in value 30. And then we get onto a couple of guys who are probably more realistic to find themselves in larger roles should injuries occur. Kelly Olynyk would be the 93rd ranked player in value 30 if he was to get to that level. Malik Monk, 93rd as well. Mohamed Bamba, we all worry about a Nikola Vucevic trade. Well, what would Bamba's value be? 89th according to our projections for value 30. Maxi Kleber, a guy there who could potentially start depending on where he's starting at the moment. What happens with Dennis Smith? Will he stay in the starting lineup? Will Kleber remain there? He could be 75th in 30 minutes. The Rock DJ, Robbie Williams, 32nd in value 30. Now, him to get to 30 minutes is a long, long way off, but that just shows the sort of value that he can have. The Block Panther, Wendell Carter, 78th in his value 30. Rishawn Holmesy Holmes, 39th in his value 30. And he's been a guy who's been absolutely crushing it in per 36 value. If we go down, in fact, to his per 36 value, he's the 25th ranked guy over the course of the season in per 36. But I think that, you know, 39th in value 30 is a more realistic representation of what Holmes could actually do in a solid, consistent role at that level. And the last guy that I want to talk about when talking about value 30 is everyone's favorite, Marquise Chris. And even if he could get to 30 minutes based on what we're projecting him at, the 145th ranked player. So it's something that we've just added. I'd like to hear suggestions or thoughts on what you guys think of it. But I think it's something that's valuable when you're looking at players. You know, what could this guy do potentially in a starting role? Now, it's not adjusting for things like, will the player's usage rate change? Will they get fewer or more shots in the starting lineup? Do they handle the ball less or more in the starting lineup? There's all those questions, which is what we adjust when those moves actually occur on Basketball Monster. But it just gives you, I think, more of an idea of what their value range can be if they're thrust into a larger role, rather than comparing per 36 numbers, which is an unrealistic level to get to, and comparing it to everybody else in the NBA per 36, which is literally never going to happen in that sort of scenario. So let me know what you think of the value 30 and that feature we have at Basketball Monster. If you've got any other ideas for features we could have at Basketball Monster, we are always open to listen. So yeah, let me know what you think of that. All right, guys, fantasy check-in time now for the Toronto Raptors. Robert Green says, how long do you anticipate Kawhi Leonard sitting out on back-to-backs?
I'm a fun guy.
How many more does he have this season? Do any coincide with fantasy playoffs? And is there value in looking to trade for a player of similar production with a better schedule down the stretch? That's a good question, because today is a back-to-back for the Raptors against the Phoenix Suns, and Kawhi is going to be sitting out that back-to-back. He has sat out all the back-to-backs so far this season. The Raptors only have three more back-to-back sets for the rest of this year. There is one on the 22nd of January against the Sacramento Kings, and then the next day against the Indiana Pacers. I think he has a legitimate chance to play in that back-to-back. Their next back-to-back after that doesn't come until March. It's the 10th of March against the Miami Heat, and then on the 11th against the Cavs. Look, there's a chance he sits that one against the Cavs, not because it's Kawhi. And even today's game, Kyle Lowry is sitting to rest as well. So it's not just a Kawhi maintenance thing. It's that let's keep our good players healthy against bad teams. So there's that one in March against Miami and Cleveland. And then a week later, on the 17th of March, there's a similar risk that does occur there with the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks on a back-to-back with a risk of both Lowry and Leonard sitting. But that is it. They are all the back-to-backs that Kawhi has left. Now, those two in March, they probably do coincide with your fantasy playoffs, depending on when your fantasy playoffs are. So there's a real potential that in 1 week of the playoffs, you miss that, because that first one on the 10th of March and the 11th of March, that's a Sunday, Monday. So you could lose that game on Monday. And then the next back-to-back is also a Sunday, Monday. So you're losing one game per week. So that would take Kawhi in that week of the 11th down to just two games. And in the next week, it would take him down to three games. Now, there's no guarantee that he sits those games, but I would think that he does play the next back-to-back against the Kings and the Pacers. And then there are those two in March, which I would say at this point, he's probably 60-40 in favor of playing. And I think there's probably just as much of a chance in those games that Kyle Lowry sits as well as Kawhi Leonard. So is there value trading someone of equal value? Yeah, absolutely. Now, he is the 7th ranked player overall this season. So you're going to have to get back someone who's pretty good. But it's not just about getting back someone of equal value. How do they fit what your team does? That's a big question. Maybe it's Nikola Jokic you could look to trade. That could work in your favor. But then that gives you a huge bump in assists. It drops your steals down significantly. Your scoring takes a hit as well. So in the end, how's that going to impact your team when there's still no guarantee that Kawhi is going to miss both of those games in March? But I think it's a decent shot that he will miss those March games. I guess the silver lining is there is only three more back-to-backs for the Raptors this season. But that is legitimately a concern given how the Raptors are playing, how they're managing their stars, and the most important thing there with that back-to-back is the quality of those opponents on the second night of the back-to-back, the Cavs and the Knicks, means the Raptors won't need to go full strength to go and beat those guys, and I think that makes it a legitimate risk. So thank you for your question, Robert. Fantasy check-in time now for the Utah Jazz. And a question came in from Trevor Brown. He says, is Point Mitchell a possibility? Of course, referring to Donovan Mitchell being the full-time starting point guard on this Jazz team there without Dante Exum, Hull, Neto, and of course, ravishing Rick Rubio at the moment. So Mitchell has been thrust into that starting point guard role. And of course, he has played quite well at that position. In fact, the last couple of games, Mitchell has been on fire. His last five games have given us 33 points with 7 assists, 33 points with 9 assists, 34 points with 6 assists, 28 points with 2 assists, and 28 points with 6 assists. Huge numbers from Mitchell with that real, you know, spike in assists we can see from him playing at that point guard position. It's been great, no doubt about that. The Jazz have won all of those games that he has been starting at point guard. But from what I understand, and this is from Tony Jones of The Athletic, is that as soon as Rubio is back in action, he will be the starting point guard on this team. Just think about how this works for this team. Yes, you know, they're winning at the moment. The games have also been against Orlando, the Lakers, the Bulls, the Pistons, and the Clippers. So not really, you know, hard opponents for them to get over. You know, we haven't seen a real tough opponent in that stretch where Mitchell has been running at point guard. So you can either have Royce O'Neal in the lineup, or you can have Rick Rubio in the lineup, or Dante Exum. You know, all those options are much more preferable to having Royce O'Neal in there. Rubio is the starting point guard on this team. Mitchell can do a lot more ball handling. We've seen that. He can become like how Donovan Mitchell has become this season. Of course, James Harden is the standard bearer. Brad Beal, a guy like that, is a shooting guard who handles the ball quite a bit, and he is able to do that. But expecting that to be the reality for the rest of this season, I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, of course, Rubio is a free agent after this season, and he could be gone. They could decide not to bring him back. But I think they do prefer Mitchell running off the ball more than playing at point guard. So far this season, according to my calculations, he's played 16% of his minutes at point guard and 83% of his minutes at shooting guard, with 1% at small forward. Of course, there's some variability in those numbers. But he has taken a real step up. The other thing that's happened during that time is his usage has spiked, but his efficiency has also spiked in that time frame. Yeah, his shooting has been much better. So how much of that is to do with playing point guard? How much of that is just to do with him going on a hot shooting streak? It's hard to say completely. But yes, it looks great at the moment. But no, I don't think it's going to be something that the Jazz continue to do all season. When Exum and Rubio are back, they will handle. Now, Exum and Mitchell, who's the point guard of those two? You'd probably say it's Mitchell anyway. But when Rubio comes back, he's still going to be getting his minutes, and that's going to push Donovan off the ball. Not really having huge impacts on his usage, which it will dip a little bit because there are other players in there to handle the ball and to take shots. But what it will do is probably drop those assist numbers back down. All right, we're looking at the Washington Wizards now for their fantasy check-in. The question comes from Jackson Chow. Can Ariza keep up with his recent high performance? Given his age, wear and tear, what range do you see him for the rest of the season? And I assume, yeah, Jackson, you're meaning his recent performance being the last two games, where he had 20 points in 40 minutes against the Bucks with 6 triples on 50% shooting, and then 48 minutes against the Toronto Raptors with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists on 50% shooting. I'm recording this before the London game, so I don't know how he went in that one at this point, but can he keep that level of production up? No, he can't, because A, he won't be playing 40 minutes a night every night, and B, he won't shoot 50% from the field. And there was a follow-up question that came in from that one from the sports guy, who says, I definitely second the Ariza question. Will he really continue to shoot 37 to 39% from the field? That should seem absurd to me. And that's sort of going in the other direction. Will his shooting get better? And this is, I think that's a more interesting question. He's at 37% from the field this season. Last season, he was at 41. The year before that, he was at 41. The year before that, he was at 41. The year before that, he was at 40. So this is a guy who, of course, is, you know, going to be turning 34 in a couple of months. Someone who has been taking inefficient shots pretty much his whole time, but over his last two games has shot really well. Will he stick at 37, 38%? I think maybe he gets to 39 or 40%, but there's no reason to think that he's going to jump into 43, 44% on the regular. This is just who he is, and it's who he's been for many, many seasons in a row. And a guy who was unmotivated in Phoenix, is older, is losing a lot of his talents. I don't think we should be expecting any large surge in overall efficiency. I think he probably is a top 100 player the rest of the season. I don't think he's a top 50, top 60, or top 70 sort of a guy. But it's all going to come down to really how that shooting sticks and whether he can keep up the high steals, which I believe he can. I believe that steal rate can stick for Ariza. So to answer the questions, Jackson, no, I don't think he can keep up that high performance. The sports guy, if that is your real name, will he continue to shoot 37 to 39? I think 39 to 40 is a more realistic expectation for him, and anything like 42 and over is probably false hope for Trevor Ariza. That does it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. Make sure you're checking out the rest of the shows across the Locked On Podcast Network, and the easiest way to do that is by telling your smart speaker to play the podcast Locked On Bulls, Locked On Jazz, Locked On Bucks, whichever team you want to listen to, and do that across the NBA and the NFL channel, as well as college as well. Guys, follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.